Very briefly, in London there is an official government office for lost and found items. Did you know that? It's in the London Transport's Lost Property Office. It's situated in Baker Street Station, actually virtually opposite to Sherlock Holmes, the residence of the fictitious Sherlock Holmes. That's where the Lost Property Office is located. It's been there a number of years. It's in fact been there about 80 years, this Lost Property Office. It's still there. It's where all of the lost properties, lost items that are found on the public transport, be it the underground, be it the buses, be it the taxis, etc., or all the trains, all lost items are taken to this place near Baker Street, where hopefully the property will be reclaimed. Some of the things which are lost are quite interesting. One year very recently, obviously, you know, I put my glasses down and I wonder where they are, and I'm searching around the bedroom finding my glasses. One of the things which we often do lose, keys. We put keys down, we can't find them, they fall out of our pocket, etc. So those things are often found on the London Transport Network. But other more bizarre things have been found. I rarely now purchase an umbrella, for example, because I'm always leaving my umbrellas behind. I spend too much money on umbrellas. But it's not just umbrellas that are found. In one year alone, handed into the Lost Property Office was a human skull, a lawnmower, wheelchairs. Now, how would you lose a wheelchair? But these have been handed in. False teeth have been handed in. Mobile phones and all that sort of thing. People lose things. Isn't it good when we find it, that which we've been hunting for? Does anyone know where this is going to? You do. Does anyone else know what are the point of that opening comment? What Bible story am I going to read out in a moment? We did that last week, but that could have been it. But we did. You weren't here last week. Pardon? Lost coin. Well done, thank you, sister. Hallelujah. The lost coin. Which follows on from the lost sheep. So if we turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 15 and verses 1 to 10. Luke 15, verses 1 to 10. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, over one sinner who turns from their wickedness, turns back to the Lord God." So that's the second parable Jesus spoke at this time. 2 weeks ago we mentioned about we talked about the parable of the prodigal son, or the loving father. And this week, I just want to mention one or two things about the parable of the lost coin, which I trust will be helpful. Remember the context. The context is that the religious people, the scribes and the Pharisees, are muttering, they're moaning, they're complaining. This man, he eats with sinners. He hangs out with those whom we despise, who we look down on. He surely can't be a good man. He can't be the Messiah. He should know what these people are like. So Jesus spoke these parables to emphasize the one truth, that Christianity is unique. Believing in Jesus is not like any other religion. It's talking about one who has come down to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. That's unique. No other religion, no other cult, no other sect has that as its underlying philosophy. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. This is love. This is grace. The scribes and the Pharisees, they couldn't understand that. They puffed themselves up. They thought that they were okay, that they were fine. They were keeping the law, they thought. But indeed they weren't, because they were not loving God with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, and their neighbor like unto themselves. They were falling at the first hurdle. They had pride. This fellow welcomes sinners. He eats with them. They dismissed the Lamb of God as this fella. Friends, as I just want to bring a simple teaching now to you and hear what the Lord may be saying to us, even as a fellowship and as individuals. We can have, I think, four attitudes to the lost. Four attitudes to those who are still in their sin. Four attitudes to those who have not yet embraced the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but like we were at one time, doing their own thing, putting something else in place of the living God. One, we can hate them. Two, we can regard them with indifference. Three, we can welcome them when they come to us. Four, we can be out seeking them. Those are four different attitudes. Now, the Pharisees, the scribes, were accusing Jesus of the third one. He was guilty of welcoming them. But also, our Lord was guilty of the fourth one. He actually actively sought them out. He sought the prostitute out. He sought the tax collector out. He sought those whom society looked down on. He sought out the poor, the disadvantaged. This story of the lost coin, interesting, isn't it? It's about this poor woman. She had 10 coins. That would have been worth at least 10 days' wages. For her, it would have been a fortune. It might have even been a life savings. It might have been stored in an ornament around her neck, or it may have been these 10 coins may have just been wrapped up in a cloth. But she would have counted them one day, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One is missing. That would have meant a lot to her. She needed that coin, and so she diligently and perhaps frenetically looks all around, and in the house you would have lived in, it's a very poor house. I know it's a parable. Very, very poor house. Probably no windows or just a little slits for window. Mud floor. Wouldn't have had a nice dressing table or anything, but she looked and looked. A lamp was lit. Eventually, she finds the lost coin. This poor peasant lady then is so, so happy that which was lost, she's now found. So she calls her friends, probably poor ladies like her, and says, "Let's have a party. That which was lost, I found. I'm so happy. It means so much to me." I love it that the Bible tells us in this passage that the angels rejoice over anyone who turns from their wicked ways as a party goes on in the heavenly chambers. And I think, you know, it was significant that this lady calls the other ladies, and they no doubt have a meal and so on. And Jesus is making a very big point. He says, "I've come." That's how I feel. That's what the angels do when one person turns from their wicked ways and finds Jesus Christ. There's rejoicing. Hallelujah. Don't be like the Pharisees. He says, "I'm actively seeking and looking. And those who look to me, those who seek me, they will find me." Hallelujah. What is our attitude to the lost? What is our attitude to our neighbors? What is our attitude to our unsaved friends and family, our work colleagues? Of course, there are perhaps some people who are doing great evil, great wrong, and we will loathe, we will hate what they are doing and saying. We will loathe that, we will hate it. We don't want to be contaminated by it. We want to be separate from it. But we need to guard our heart. Are we saying that such people are beyond the grace of the Lord Jesus? I don't think Jesus is saying that. He's not willing that any should perish. I pray that our attitude will be the third and the fourth one, that we will have discernment, that when the lost, the sinner, the seeker comes, we will welcome them. We will show them a better way. We'll show them their need to be changed from the inside out. Not to reform from the outside in, but to be changed from the inside, to allow the Holy Spirit to be at work, born, so that they are born again, so that they can then do the things which are pleasing to the Lord, because they have the power of Christ within them. His change inside out, not outside in. Many apparently good people are seeking to transform their own lives and transform the community, but without the power of God, it will not work. We need the almighty power of the Lord God. And he is saying, "I am with you. I want to be part. I want to fill." And I hope also that we will be like the fourth, that we will actively, as the Lord gives us his direction, his spirit, to seek those who need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That by turning to the Lord, humbling themselves, they can find the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they can be transformed from the inside out. I hope that's that. And let's pray, friends, even use our time together as prayer, that the Lord will open up for us. These are the last days. Time is short. We believe that the Lord will bring many into this place. That is not just presumption. We believe it. We believe it very much, that God is calling us at this time for such a time as this. And we need to be ready, but we also need his strategy to go out, where to go, what to do, what events to put up, not to entertain people, but to bring them under conviction. But we're to show love. We're to show love because of the love of Jesus Christ, which encompasses and fills us. That's my heart, friends. I believe this is the heart of the church. And that we should not be fearful, but believe that the Lord still has many people in this town and around. So God, help us. And you know, I love it. This passage talks about the angels, these holy angels who are rejoicing over one sinner. One, every person who turns to the Lord, they rejoice. Several times the Bible speaks about the holy angels, of course. Some people, and I do not dismiss the bad angels, the demons, the demonic powers and work is going on all around us, and that's why we must pray and put on the whole armor of God, and to stand and support each other and encourage each other, and come in the name of Jesus against those things which the evil powers are determined to do to destroy. We must. But I'd rather concentrate as well, friends, more and more on the holy angels, the true ministers of righteousness, where God is presently seated with his holy angels. And do you know, the Bible says that when Jesus comes, the holy angels will be coming with him. Hallelujah. And they're there also. Praise God. Where they are, the Lord is. And I want to be where the Lord is. May we not be like the Pharisees and the scribes, but with our Saviour's mandate, seek and to save that which was lost. Amen.